So, I'm very happy to be here in such a wonderful, wonderful assembly of devotees. Actually, I always tell my devotees in West Africa that when I come to Radha Gopinath Temple, I feel like I'm in a spiritual world. Actually, how the devotees are living here is how we are going to live in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is a place of very, very sweet relationship. And His Holiness Srila Radhanath Maharaj, being a resident of the spiritual world, is training everyone here to live in the spiritual world. And that is why there is so much sweetness here. The spiritual world is manifesting in Radha Gopinath Temple. And I keep telling devotees that if they want to experience the spiritual world on earth, they should go to Radha Gopinath Temple. So I'm so happy to be here today to, I don't know what to say. Actually, there are many, many exalted devotees in this assembly. Many, many wonderful, wonderful speakers in this assembly. Many, many wonderful Vaishnavas here. So, it is not an easy task speaking in such an assembly. Because everybody knows. If you make a little mistake, you'll be singled out. So before you speak in this assembly, you must be very careful, because it's full of wonderful, wonderful Vaishnavas who understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So anytime I'm asked to speak here, I'm always a bit nervous. But I know that there is Radha Gopinath's mercy. By speaking, we are actually purifying ourselves. By speaking, we are actually reminding ourselves what we are supposed to be doing. So, in this regard, we accept to speak, even though we are so unqualified to speak. Actually, we come here to learn from the wonderful devotees of this temple. In fact, my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, has told me that if you want to learn how to perform devotional service, then you should go and associate with the devotees of Radha Gopinath. So I came here the first time in 2002, under his instruction. And I'm here again in 2007, under his instruction. He says, go and learn from the devotees of Radha Gopinath. So please, you should all be very merciful to me, and give me your mercy, give me all the instructions, all the guidance, so that before I go back to Africa, I am a transformed entity. Then, my Guru Maharaj will be very pleased with all of you, if I'm transformed. But if I go back, the same crow, making noise, cow, 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 then it's all useless. So, I'm very happy, and I have something very little to say. I want us to discuss something very small about prayer. Somebody may ask, are we not praying? Why should we talk about prayer? Yes. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are praying. Srila Prabhupada explains that that is a prayer. My dear Lord, please give me some service. That is the meaning of the Maha Mantra. We are asking Krishna to engage us in His service. Because we are Krishna Nitya Krishna Das. Everyone, every jiva is Nitya Krishna Das. We are all eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But now we have forgotten that. And we are taking shelter of Maya. We are in a very, very complicated situation. Actually, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the living entity living in the material world is incompatible. The living entity wanting to remain here in the material world is a very incompatible situation, because the living entity is jiva, jivadma. Mama evamso jiva loke jiva puta sanatanaha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that all living entities are parts and parcels of me eternally. So, if we are all parts and parcels of Krishna eternally, we are supposed to be doing what? To be serving Krishna eternally. But somehow, we are in this miserable world, Mashyalok, where repeated birth and death takes place. And everyone is rushing into the jaws of death. Everyone. In fact, when I look back into the village I come from, I realize that my time is close. Because all the elderly people we have met when we were young children, growing up, all the elderly people are all gone. When I went to the village, I asked of this person, they said, oh, he's gone. And that person, he's gone. And that one, he's gone. All the elderly people I've known before, they've all gone. And we are the next. Life is like a baton. In a relay race, one holds the baton, he runs and gives it to the next person. So, our parents, they have lived their lives and they have gone. Now it is our turn. So, all of us are servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And this material world in which we have found ourselves is not the best place for us. And that is why everyone is going through some amount of anxiety. Krishna's planet is known as Vaikuntha, a place without anxiety. Kunta means anxiety. Vai means no, without. So Vaikuntha means no anxiety. But where we are is called Kunta, full of anxiety. Every day, every night, every year, we simply go through so much anxiety. So this process of Krishna consciousness is a very wonderful process for giving everyone a chance to escape the clutches of Maya. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, this ISKCON movement is called Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangam. That is an association of devotees where everyone is constantly absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. That is what the society of ISKCON is providing for the living entities in this world. Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha, an association of devotees, an association of like-minded people who are simply absorbed in thinking of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, if we just keep chanting, this wonderful prayer, wonderful mantra, there is every hope. There is great hope that at the end of the tunnel, there will be some light. This material world is very dark. Even though there are so many luminaries, the sun, the moon, the stars, but still it's very dark. Until we take to Krishna consciousness. And that is why we pray, Om Gyan Tamridasya Gyan Gyan Shalakhaya. We are born in the greatest ignorance, accepting the body to be the self. This is a general disease. Everyone is thinking, I am this body. But very soon, we will be kicked out of this body. Then we realize that we are not this body. So, our today's discussion is on prayer. Even though we are chanting the Maha Mantra, it's a very powerful prayer. It's actually the prayer for perfection. Anyone who wants to become perfect, anyone who wants to get out of this material world, anyone who wants to enter the association of Krishna, he should and he must take to this process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, there's no other way in this age except chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But chanting the Maha Mantra and achieving the ultimate result of the Maha Mantra will take a certain amount of time. One has to rise from the offensive level of chanting to the offenseless level of chanting. And then one has to rise from the offenseless level of chanting to the pure level of chanting, Sudanam. But it is not as easy as I have said it. Rising from the offensive level to the offenseless level is not as easy as I have mentioned it. Neither is it rising from the offenseless level to the pure level so easy. So, even though the Maha Mantra is the best mantra, the greatest mantra, still, there are certain conditions that we must fulfill in order to experience the blissfulness of the Maha Mantra. Of course, chanting the names of the Lord, whether in pure state, whether on the offenseless level, or even with offenses, there is great benefit. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has encouraged everyone of us to constantly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But with prayer can be said in any form, in any way, at any time, without any rules and regulations. And depending on the intensity of your prayer, you can get a response from the Lord. So therefore, I want us to discuss a little bit about prayer. So we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Sri Prahlad Maharaj talks about the 9 processes of devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Achanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Admanivedanam Iti Pumsha Pita Vishnu Bhaktischandra Lakshanaha. Kriyate Bhagavati Ada Tanmanye Ditam Otamam. These are the words of Prahlad Maharaj. And what is he saying? He's saying that hearing and chanting about the transcendental glories of the holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship and prayers, becoming the servant of the Lord, becoming the friend of the Lord, and surrendering everything to the Lord. These are the nine processes which are accepted as pure devotional service to the Lord. And one who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most fortunate person. So, anyone who is engaged in these nine activities, Prahlad Maharaj says, he should be considered the most fortunate person. That means, if we want our lives to be improved, then we must take to these nine processes of devotional service. Of course, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that any one of these processes, any one of them, can lead one to perfection. However, in Kali Yuga, because of our very fallen situation, it is better we are engaged in all the nine processes. So among these nine processes, Vandanam is mentioned. And Vandana means prayer. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he says, Vandana means offering respectful obeisances and notable prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Offering respectful obeisances and notable prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaskuru. Offering obeisances. And Lord Krishna also mentions that in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 34, Krishna says, Man manam bhava man bhakto, mam yaji mam namaskuru. Krishna is instructing all of us to do what? To offer our obeisances to Him, to offer our prayers to Him. So, by offering prayers to Krishna, it is one of the processes of devotional service. We will get purified. By offering prayers to Krishna, it is one of the processes of devotional service. We will get elevated. So, Vandanam means to offer our obeisances to the Lord with prayers. And actually, that is our main activity. Anytime we come into the temple of the Lord, we always pay obeisances. And when we fall down like a stick, we say some words. We say some prayers. And these prayers are either glorifying the pure devotee of the Lord, or they are directly glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Beggar series of Srila Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, before he left this planet, he has written a number of books. First are the Leadership series, then followed by the Beggar series, then followed by the Warrior series, Spiritual Warrior series, and then he ended up with the Reflection series. So, in the Beggar series, volume 3, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj mentions 10 types of prayers, 10 types of Vaishnava prayers. So we shall look at those 10 types of rational prayers. The first one is called Sampratanat Mika, which means words of direct prayer and glorification to the Supreme Lord. When we offer words of glorification to the Lord, this is called Sampratanat Mika. Second one is called Swadanya. Swadanya Bodhika. Words informing the Lord of one's humility. Devotees offer prayers in humility to the Lord. This is called Swadanya Bodhika. Then we have Mana Shiksha. Mana Shiksha means instructions to one's mind. There are some prayers that we say that are instructions to the raging mind. The mind, as we all know, is so unstable. Chanchalam hi manasya Krishna, Arjun complained about the mind in Bhagavad Gita, that the mind is so fickle, to control is so difficult. So there are prayers that one can say to give instructions to this chanchalam called mind. Then fourth, we have Vilapatmika. Statements of extreme lamentation. When a devotee offers prayers or lamentation to the Supreme Lord, this is in this category. Then we have Vaishnav Mahima Prakashita. Statements revealing the glories of the Lord's devotees. When we offer prayers glorifying the Lord's devotees, like the Guru Pranams, these fall under this category. Then we have Sri Vaishnav Vigyapati Rupa. This is also prayers to the spiritual master, like the songs we sing in the morning during Mangarati. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur give us those beautiful songs in the morning to sing, to glorify the spiritual master. And also, after greeting the deities, after Arti Darshan, we sing another one, Guru Vandan. So these are all within this category. Then we have Shridam Vase Lipsa Mika. Statements revealing the desire to live in a holy place of the pastimes of the Lord. Then we have Sadaka Dehira Lasha. Prayers revealing the desire to execute devotional service in the body of a practicing devotee. Then we have Shida Deha Lalam Shamai. Prayers revealing desire to execute spontaneous devotional service in a perfect spiritual body. And lastly, we have Ashikpa Bodhika. Prayers revealing intense grief and sorrow in which one blames oneself for falling into the material existence. So these are the 10 different types of Vaishnava prayers. And in fact, Srila Narottama Das Thakur has used all these 10 different types of prayers throughout all his songs. If you go through all the songs of Srila Narottama Das Thakur, you'll find that all these 10 different prayers are used in his songs. In the Padma Purana also, there is a mention of some of these types of prayers. That a devotee should offer prayers in submission unto the lotus feet of the Lord in a sober manner. And by doing so, the devotee gets purified. And three of those are mentioned. Sampratagnika, very feelingly offering prayers. Swadanyamva, bodhika, humbly submitting oneself to the Lord. Lala Samayi, desiring some professional stage of devotional service. So, the Padma Purana mentions three of these, actually recommends these three. That a devotee should feelingly offer prayers to the Supreme Lord every day. And a devotee should humbly submit himself to the Lord. And a devotee should have an intense desire for perfection in devotional service. And that should be expressed through prayers. So, we can have a look at some of the prayers of different devotees and see how they have utilized these principles. Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, prays, Namapankajanabaya, Namapankajamalini, Namapankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajagraye. Say, my obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like the lotus flower, who is always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus flower, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. This is a prayer by Kunti, the celebrated mother of the Pandavas. In fact, there is a whole book Srila Prabhupada has written containing the prayers of Kunti. And in those prayers, you can see the quality of devotional service that is pouring out from Mother Kunti's heart. So actually, these prayers, they clearly show the heart of the devotee. So Kunti is glorifying the Lord in this way. The Lord has a navel which is like a lotus flower. He wears a garland of lotus flowers. His glance is as cool as a lotus flower. And his feet are all engraved with the marks of lotus flower. So this is a direct glorification of the Supreme Lord, which comes under the first category. We can also look at the prayers of Arjun. When Arjun saw the universal form of the Lord, when Krishna displayed the universal form of the Lord in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was completely bewildered, seeing the great, great, gigantic form of the Lord. He was so disturbed. He's begun to offer prayers to the Lord. And that first prayer we find in text 15 of chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita. And you know, he's saying, "My dear Lord Krishna, I see assembling your body all the demigods and various other living entities. I see Brahma sitting on a lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and so many divine serpents." So, Arjuna is realizing the greatness of the Lord, and he is offering prayers, suitable prayers, to glorify this greatness of the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions that a devotee should accept the greatness of the Lord, and in comparison, should see how insignificant he is. And then, based on that, he should offer prayers constantly to the Supreme Lord. If the Lord is so great, and we are so tiny, we are so small, then the natural tendency is that we should glorify the Lord. In the material world, we see these things happen. Politicians, the high people, some poor people, give them some few coins, few rupees, few dollars, few CDs. In my country, this money is called CD. And then they let them sing their glories everywhere. That is part of their business. They pay off, they give some little money to some people, some poor people. And then they go around everywhere singing their glories. So Srila Prabhupada says that one should only glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Having understood the supreme position of the Supreme Lord, the greatness of the Lord, the devotee should immediately begin to offer prayers to the Lord. And that is what Arjuna is doing here. So, we can continue to mention so many different devotees who have offered different kinds of prayers. Like Srinivasacharya. He composed the Sri Srisad Goswami Astaka, the eight prayers glorifying the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. We can immediately remember King Kulashekhar in his Mukunda Malastotam. Wonderful prayers. And Srila Prabhupada picked one prayer, one particular prayer he made into a bhajan. Krishna Tadiya Pada Pankaja Pajaratam. Srila Prabhupada loved this particular verse from the Mukunda Stotamala. And he will sing it all the time. Even when he's doing his ordinary business of the day in a room, you see Prabhupada singing this song. Why? Because this particular verse says, "O Lord, at this moment, let the royal swan of my mind enter the tangled stems of the lotus of your feet. How will it be possible for me to remember you at the time of death, when my throat will be choked up with mucus, bile, and air?" So, King Kulashekhar is appealing to the Lord that please let my mind enter the entangled meshes of your lotus feet right now. Otherwise, in old age, otherwise, at the point of death, my throat will be choked with mucus, bile, and all other obnoxious things. And it will be difficult at that time to chant your name. It will be difficult at that time to remember your holy name. So, Let me think of your lotus feet right now. So Prabhupada writes that this is the test of our Krishna consciousness. Whatever we are doing now will be tested at the end of our lives. Yam yam vapi smaranam bhavam atyajite kalevaram. Bhagavad Gita 8, chapter 8, I think verse 6 or 7. That whatever we think of at the time of death, that we shall attain without fail. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever we are engaged in now will determine what we think of at the end. So, this process of Krishna consciousness, of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is to create the atmosphere in the mind. So, that when the time comes, we can remember the lotus feet of the Lord. If we remember the Hare Krishna Mantra at the point of death, it's as good as remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. So in this verse, King Kulashekhar is praying that, my dear Lord, let my mind right now enter into the stem of your lotus feet so that I don't miss the plane at the time of death. The whole purpose of our existence is to pass this test. We have written so many exams. Once you go to school, you write many exams. From primary school to middle school to secondary school to college, university, and so on and so forth. So many exams are written. But all those exams are useless. They have no meaning. When it comes to the final examination, they will not help you. You might have the greatest certificate, PhD, professorate, whatever. But at the time of death, those certificates are not helpful. So Srila Prabhupada says, this is the final test. How we are able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord at the point of death, that is the real test. So this process of Krishna consciousness must be taken very seriously. If we take it seriously, we will be able to remember the Lord's lotus feet by the mercy of the Lord. So, there are different prayers said by different devotees. In fact, for the non-devotees, when they come before the Lord, they ask the Lord for so many material things. Especially, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in some religions, they are just bothering God day and night. God give me this, God give me that, God give me that. They are not interested in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead, they want the Lord to serve them by supplying their needs. And this is their consciousness. This is their goal of religion. There are some people in this world, they don't even pray to God. They don't even believe there is a God. But they have all the material resources. So, if they are not praying to God, they don't even believe in a God, and they have all the material resources at their disposal, then why should one approach God praying for material boons? So, there are different kinds of prayers. The non-devotees, kamis, who are interested in enjoying the material resources, who are interested in lording over material nature, when they approach the Lord, they simply pray for material boons. Of course, the Prabhupada says, that is even better. If people approach the Lord and pray for material boons. It is accepted. At least they recognize that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there, and He owns everything. And therefore, let me go to Him and beg for some material boons. But higher than that is that one should approach the Lord and pray to the Lord, glorifying the Lord, or asking the Lord to give him some service, asking the Lord to engage him in some service. That is a better prayer. So we see that most of the prayers in the songbooks, most of the prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, most of the prayers in Bhagavad Gita, and many, many other scriptures, which are offered from pure-hearted devotees, they are completely free from material boons, demanding for material boons. They are simply soliciting the Lord's mercy to engage them in remembering His holy names, His glorious pastimes. So, this is what we should be praying for. Because whatever material boons we get, there is a beginning to it and there is an end to it. Vrikashur, we all know the story of Vrikashur. Vrikashur performed great tapasya to the point of cutting his own head and throwing inside fire so that he could get a boon. And when finally his Easter Dev, Lord Shiva, appeared and said, "What do you want for performing such great austerity?" He said, "I want a special boon." And he said, "What is the boon?" "When I take somebody's head, the head shall crack into pieces." What a boon. There are so many boons one can ask for, but this demon is asking for such a horrible boon. So if he touches somebody's head, it should crack into pieces. That's what he wanted. And because Lord Shiva is so easily pleased as Asutosh, he said, "Tatastu, have it." And so, as soon as the demon got the benediction, what did he do? He wanted to test it on Lord Shiva's head. So, there was a marathon race. Lord Shiva has to run for his dear life. And the demon followed him wherever he went, wanting to experiment to see whether the boon he gave him was actually effective. And of course, Lord Shiva knew it was effective. So he has to run for his life. And the demon chased him everywhere. He went to Brahmalok. He went to Indralok. He went to all the lokas. And wherever they went, they said, "Please go back. You gave that boon. Take care of it." So Lord Shiva was in trouble. He was in great trouble. Because he knew that that boon he had given was very powerful. And if the demon should dare touch his head, that was going to be the end. So finally, he thought, "Since I cannot get any shelter anywhere, let me get to my master, my lord and master. Let me go to Lord Vishnu." So immediately, Lord Shiva appeared on the planet of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu already knew what was happening. He's a super soul. He is in everybody's heart. Sarvasyacham hirdeshanam yasto mata smriti gyanam apohanam cha. Krishna is sitting in everyone's heart. And he knows exactly your situation. He knows exactly our situation, even though we will be 2,000 in this room. I don't know what this my brother is thinking about, but Krishna knows. That is the Supreme Lord. He knows everything. So the Lord knew that his devotee, Param Vaishnav Shiva, was in trouble. And so immediately he devised a plan to save him. He took the form of a brahmachari and approached the demon. And immediately called the demon's father's name. And the demon was so happy that somebody here knows his father's name. So he decided to listen to the words of this brahmachari. And the brahmachari asked him, Now, what is the problem? He said, oh, this Lord Shiva gave me some boon. And when I want to experiment it on his head, he's running. So I'm very doubtful whether the boon is effective. Why is he running? He has given me the boon. He shall allow me to test it. Then Lord Vishnu, in the form of a brahmachari, said, all right, oh, Lord Shiva, he's fond of giving such boons. He easily gives boons. But they are useless boons. Moses' boons are useless boons. And if you doubt me, try it on your own head. Lord Vishnu is the most intelligent living entity. He's a supreme intelligent. So he spoke so nicely and convinced this Vrikasur to touch his own head. And as soon as he touched his own head, his head scattered into pieces. And Lord Shiva was delivered from that calamity. Sometimes I start thinking, if Lord Shiva were not delivered, what would have happened? If Vrikrasur was able to take Lord Shiva's head and crack his head, I'm sure he would have tried on Lord Brahma also. And he would have also tried on other demigods also. And the universe would have been a different situation now. But Lord Krishna is always protecting his devotees. So, we should always remember that the Lord is very great. And the Lord knows the innermost feelings in our hearts. And so, we should approach the Lord and offer very feeling prayers to the Lord. These prayers will please the Lord very much. And these prayers will also elevate our consciousness. So I will just narrate a few stories about the power of prayer, because we're supposed to end the class at 2:30 for the drama to take place. So, and we'll end with Srila Prabhupada's own prayer. The power of prayer. I used to have one god brother. His name is Bhagwat Prabhu. Of course, he's no more alive. He has passed away. But his devotee was such a wonderful devotee, wonderful pujari, taking care of the deities in the temple. But he had some material desires. And he was in his heart praying that Krishna should fulfill his material desires. And Krishna was not fulfilling his desires. Actually, the Lord is so kind that he will not give us anything that would distract us from our service. That is his loving kindness. If a child is crying to the father for a razor blade, and a father, loving father, knows that that razor blade is going to cause some havoc to the child, the father doesn't give him. So sometimes we may be praying to the Lord for some particular situation, particular boon, and the Lord does not give. We should immediately understand that Krishna knows that that thing we are asking for is going to create some havoc in our lives. And so the Lord, out of his mercy, does not want to give. So this devotee, he was taking care of the deities in the temple, but he has some material desire, and he was praying his heart that the Lord should fulfill it. And the Lord was not fulfilling. So one day he came to me and said, Prabhu, do you know something? I said, no. Until you tell me, I don't know. And he said, you know, I have some desire, and I've been praying to Krishna, and Krishna, for all these years, I'm serving the deity, and I want him to fulfill the desire he's not fulfilling. So I'm going to stop chanting Hare Krishna. I said, oh, you're going to stop chanting Hare Krishna? He said, yes. Then I said, what are you going to chant? He said, I will chant Balaram. That because I'm chanting Krishna's names, and Krishna is not fulfilling my desires, I won't chant his names anymore. I will chant Balaram's names. I said, well, there is no difference between Balaram and Krishna. So if you chant Balaram's names, you're still chanting Krishna's names. So I think he started chanting Balaram's names. And after a while, still his material desire wasn't fulfilled. So one day he came and said, Prabhu, I think I am wasting my time here. I have to go somewhere else. I said, what do you mean? He said, I have some desires and the Lord is not fulfilling. I stopped chanting Hare Krishna, I'm chanting Balaram, and he's not fulfilling. So I have to go somewhere else. I said, Prabhu, please, this service you are doing is so special. We are doing deity service to the Lord. Don't give it up. It will take you back home, back to Godhead. Still he left. So this devotee, he left. And he went to do some business. After some time, I heard he was arrested by police and put in jail. So, that is the benefit of giving up Krishna. So he was in jail for about 3, 4, 5 months. We didn't even know where he was. But we just heard he has been arrested, sentenced, and he's jailed. We don't know where he was. And after some time, he came back to the temple. And I asked him, where are you coming from? He said, Prabhu, you don't know. I'm coming from the prison. I said, what did you go there to do? He said, because I stopped chanting Krishna's names. Because even after I started chanting Balaram's names, I didn't get the result. I also stopped chanting Balaram's names. And I decided to act on the dictates of my mind. I decided to act on the dictates of my senses. I found myself doing things. He was plagiarizing, you know, using somebody's trademark to do business. And he was arrested. And so, according to him, he said he was in prison for about 3, 4 months. And he was suffering so much. And then one day, he decided, now anyway, I'm in this prison now. What can I do? I have nothing else to do. Let me just chant Krishna's names. I have nothing doing. I just sit down here all day doing nothing. So at least, let me just chant Krishna's names. And to his surprise, that very day, he chanted Krishna's names. He chanted 16 rounds using his fingers. There was no beat. He has left his beat somewhere. He has chanted 16 rounds using his fingers. He said as soon as he finished the 16 rounds, the police came and called him out of the cell. And said, your case has been acquitted and discharged. So you can go. So he realized that the holy name of Krishna is so powerful. So he came back to the temple and started chanting Hare Krishna. So, Krishna's names are so powerful. But because we have been doing it all the time, we are so familiar with them, sometimes we don't see the potency of these names. Also, we have the story of Sabalega. In the Leelas of Lord Jagannath, there is a story of a devotee of the Lord whose parents were Muslims. And because of that, he could not enter the temple in Puri. So he would simply stand by the roadside and simply offer prayers. Offer songs to the Lord. My Lord Jagannath was receiving the prayers of this sincere devotee. So, one day, when the rat cart was going down the street, this devotee was at a particular spot on the grand road, reciting prayers and singing heartfelt songs in glorification of Lord Jagannath. It is described when the cart got to the spot where this devotee is offering prayers and singing sweet songs in glorification of the Lord, the cart stopped. And no amount of pushing could move the cart a millimeter forward. And in this way, Lord Jagannath gave darshan, full darshan to his devotee, who by birth was unqualified to enter the temple and have darshan of the Lord. So, by the prayers of Sabaliga, he was able to stop the cart of Jagannath and have darshan of the Lord. And in fact, it is described that the spot where this devotee stopped the cart, that is the spot his body was put into. And one can still visit that place in Puri. So that is the power of prayer to the Lord. There is also these prayers called Gita Govinda by Jayadev Goswami. Jayadev Goswami composed these wonderful songs. It is described in the Leelas of Lord Jagannath that there was one simple village girl called Padma. And this little girl had learned these songs. And whatever she is doing, she will be singing these songs. So one day, this little girl was in the father's garden, picking garden eggs and reciting this prayer, singing these songs very sweetly. It was in the evening. Lord Jagannath was put to rest. So immediately, Lord Jagannath left the temple and went to where this little girl was singing Gita Govinda. And the Lord was enjoying these songs. He was enjoying these prayers. Then he kept following the girl, wherever the girl went to pick some garden eggs. And because the garden eggs had some thorns on the trees, the Lord's clothes got entangled in the thorns of the garden eggs, and they were torn. And even the top chadar of the Lord fell into the garden. And the Lord was so absorbed in listening to these wonderful prayers of Jayadev Goswami that the Lord didn't even bother to take his chadar. So finally, when the girl's basket was full of the garden eggs, she took it home. And Lord Jagannath returned to the temple. The next day, when the pujaris opened the temple, opened the altar, they found out that Lord Jagannath's clothes was all torn into pieces and scattered here and there. And his chadar was nowhere to be found. So the pujaris, they thought some calamity had taken place. Why should the Lord's clothes be torn into pieces? Why should the Lord's chadar be missing? So the head pujaris decided to fast. They informed the king and decided to fast so that the Lord would reveal to them what the calamity is. So in the process of fasting, the Lord revealed to the head pujari and to the king that there is no calamity. I have a devotee, Padma Devi. She is reciting some very special prayers of another devotee, Gita Govinda. And I'm so attracted to those prayers. So yesterday, I went to the garden where she was picking these vegetables and singing these songs. And there, my clothes got entangled with the plants, and they were torn. And even I was so absorbed in hearing these prayers that I dropped my chadar somewhere. So please, you should arrange to bring that girl here so that every evening, before I sleep, she can sing those songs to my hearing. So immediately the king has to arrange. They have to search out in the whole of Orissa to find out that girl. And when they found her, they immediately told her, "You and your parents, please move to Puri. Stay near the temple and offer this special service to Lord Jagannath." And so from that time till today, before Lord Jagannath take rest in the temple, take rest in the night, these Gita Govinda prayers are recited. Finally, I want us to look at Srila Prabhupada's prayer. We have a few minutes more. When Srila Prabhupada went to America in 1965, when he landed in Boston, he wrote some poem in Bengali, which is translated. So we can see the wonderful prayer that Srila Prabhupada has written. Actually, we are all beneficiaries of this prayer. The whole ISKCON is based on this prayer. So I read the English translation. This was in Boston. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me here to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material most of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. And therefore, they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev Krishna. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or the other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for the understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhakti Vedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhakti Vedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami. So you can see in this prayer the humility of Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON. You can see his great humility. And you can see that by this prayer that Srila Prabhupada has made, he was able to make devotees in America. He was able to establish ISKCON in America. And because he's able to establish ISKCON in America, he's able to establish ISKCON in India. Yes, Srila Prabhupada said like that. Before Srila Prabhupada left India, he only had one disciple. One disciple. One initial disciple. Before he left India. But when he brought back the American devotees, and they were dancing on the streets of India, he called them his white dancing elephants. And that attracted the Indian people. He told them, your culture that you are abandoning, the Americans are embracing it. And because of that, many, many people have taken interest in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, as His Grace Bhavananda Prabhu said, he came directly from the spiritual world. He was in touch with Krishna. And Krishna was guiding him every moment, every second of his life. And so he knew exactly what to do to bring Krishna consciousness back to India. And so, by this prayer, ISKCON was formed. By this prayer, devotees were made. And by this prayer, we are all here today. That is the greatness of ISKCON founder Acharya Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any comment? Or maybe some question? The drama people will be coming very soon. Yes. Microphone.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, when we are in certain troublesome or difficult situations, that may be regarding our health or maybe regarding our mental condition, we pray to Krishna that kindly take me out of this situation. Isn't that a materialistic, or should we avoid that as well?
If we are in some terrible situation that is disturbing our devotional service, we can pray to Krishna to relieve us of the situation. Yes. It is also devotional service. For instance, if a devotee is harassed by some kind of disease and the doctors cannot cure it, and this devotee has such important service, but he is crippled by this disease, and if he can pray to the Lord to relieve him of that disease, it is also considered devotional service. In fact, I can give my own personal experience, a little experience. I just had my eye surgery a month ago. 4 days after the surgery, I had the severest pain. I could not sleep from morning to evening, and the night was worse. It was like the eye is going to fall out. So, and the room I was at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, this deities, or rather Shamashundra, is hanging there. So I just got up out of the pain and I started praying that, please, my dear Lord, this pain is too much. I had a book on Lord Narasimhadev, opened the future Lord Narasimhadev. I was praying, please, this pain is too much. I can't bear it. So as I was praying and praying and praying, then all of a sudden, I fell asleep. And when I woke up, the pain was gone. That very day, the prescription is to take the pain relievers 3 times a day. That day, I took pain relievers more than 7 times. And the pain was not going. But after that night, I started taking the pain relievers once a day. And gradually it went off. I stopped taking pain reliever. So we can pray if we are in such extreme anxiety, some extreme pain. We can pray the Lord to take it away. And if the Lord feels that that will help you in your service, He will do it. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for your wonderful association. Please forgive me if I have said certain things that are not pleasing. We are all learning to become Vaishnavas. And by your association, we can all become Vaishnavas. So that's why we are here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gopinath ki jai.